Aren't you a good little podcaster?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. Yes, you're such a good little podcaster. Okay, stop.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and I like all things martial artsy. And I am an anomaly.
And I'm Angela. And I have a tune called Buffybot on Ice Crown US, and I am an anomaly. Welcome.
Welcome to the podcast.
How is everyone? We're excited about, or I am very excited about the podcast today, because we are going to be talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are going to start off with one of my favorite episodes and see how we can sire you into watching Buffy if you don't watch it. And if you do watch it, I hope that you enjoy a bit of our comments on an episode that's in the fourth season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Which is
called Hush. It was nominated for an Emmy Award in the year that it was made for writing. And that's a lot of the time some of our favorite shows, they get under the wire for special effects writing, you know, of one episode, something like that. You know, they won't give them the high tier awards, but sometimes they'll sneak something in there. And I could go on about all of the acting and things like that, that, you know, Sarah Michelle Gellar got a daytime Emmy when she was playing Susan Lucci's daughter.
Oh my gosh.
On
General Hospital.
No, it's not General Hospital. Is that what it is? See, I don't even know. See?
I think so, because my mom loves that one. That has to be
so. Anyway, I don't think we'll get in trouble with anybody here no. for not knowing soap operas. But she got an Emmy for that, and then for the excellent work she did on Buffy.
Nothing.
And it truly is excellent work, I think. And of course, I'm a little biased, but I think she's very good. So, as is the whole cast. So as you can tell, I'm chomping at the bit to talk about this. We are going to do a TV section, so let's roll it out.
I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I got a lot of problems.
Hello, this is the TV segment. Welcome to the television segment of the Anomaly Podcast. We are very happy to have you here today. Jenny, it's your turn.
All right. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I've been babysitting. I've been mothering all day.
Yeah.
Why would I say that? Jim says that too. Oh, I'm babysitting. It's like, that's your child. Can you be babysitting? Can you babysit your own child? I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I stayed home from work and hung out with the kid all day, and he was great until he vomited all over me right before. Okay. Enough kid talk. That's why I'm a little loopy.
All right, then.
Too many hours with the kid.
All right.
So what interesting happened on TV since there's no Battlestar?
Meh.
The Emmys were on?
Yes. I didn't watch them.
I didn't watch them either, but I did watch. I'm kind of a clothes person, even though I don't like clothes for myself. I like clothes for costume reasons, and I like ball gowns. I pretty much like sweats, and I like ball gowns.
You're a trendy dresser.
I don't do much in between. I prefer sweats and ball gowns. but yeah. We did see some of our favorite actresses from Battlestar on some of the follow-up photos to the Emmys. And we were very sad because on the Fashion Police, one of the guys on there, to have every reality TV show has to have a British person yelling at somebody about something. And on Fashion Police, they had this British guy. Pretty much he's there to be mean to everybody. So I don't know what it really meant, but evidently she wore a red dress to the Emmys. Well,
brilliant.
To those of us who watch Battlestar,
duh.
I mean, of course she wore a red dress. That's what she's supposed to do. So, and she looked gorgeous as you know.
And his complaint was that she was wearing a red dress on the red carpet,
yeah,
and she needed to stand out, and she wasn't. But the whole point
is like saying, "Oh,
she's doing a nod to
right.
the fans." Who else knows her other than the fans on Battlestar Galactica?
That's true.
What other shows has she been on? CSI is a dead body.
She was a very good dancer.
And she was a model, but, other than that.
Yeah, but, and I mean, we're not saying that she can't do anything else, but that is really what she is mainly known for, and brilliantly, I might add. And so I think I like the idea of a red dress, and I think she pulled it off beautifully. And also, Christina Hendricks was on, and she looked gorgeous, and Mad Men did very well. Mm-hmm. And she is from Firefly. So she looked great, and I liked all the stuff in her hair. So
Now, what were they saying about her that was totally obnoxious and rude?
Well, no, I mean, I think it was just the British guy, because she's a little more curvy, and not, I don't think, in a bad way at all. I mean, of course, you know, when you talk about anything about body image in Hollywood, I don't think that there's even a base to spring from as far as, like, what is skinny, what's big, what's, you know, because you watch, I'm a horrible person and watch too many stupid things, but, you know, you watch that Tyra Banks show, America's Next Top Model, and the plus size girls are size 8. That's, to me, that's pushing it just a little. So, you know, I would love to be a size 8 right now, I'll tell you that. And I know that there are a lot of women in America who would love to be a size 8, but that's a plus size model. I mean, give me a break. So it's like, it's so hard to talk about it, but that's, and she's just, you know, she's well endowed. And I think also she looks like the period that Mad Men is in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you saw her on Firefly, I mean, she was kind of a wavy little thing then. And gorgeous anyway. I mean, I think she's gorgeous. And she has the tiniest little waist. I mean, she's just voluptuous. And I think they were saying that the dress too much accentuated her voluptuousness. But hey, if you got them, you got them, show them off. Good girl. I mean, she's wonderful, so I really enjoy watching her on that show. And of course, she's one of our favorite Firefly people. She's only in 2 episodes, and what a splash. What a splash. Because I think that she's even a character in the role-playing game of Firefly. So, I mean, to be in 2 episodes as a guest in a show that lasted half a season, and to be famous for that role, I mean, that's pretty cool, I think. So, anywho, enough of that. I wanted to tell you, we have been watching Big Bang Theory, and we started watching Big Bang Theory, which I didn't get to watch because I recorded it and Jim wasn't here to watch it with me, and I always watch it with him. But right after Big Bang Theory is How I Met Your Mother, which one of the stars of that show is the girl who plays Willow on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Allison Hannigan. And that's why it's kind of tying in, even though it doesn't tie in at all. But the best part about it is that the episode was almost completely about the guy who's telling the story. He's dating this girl and he's going to marry her. And it's kind of a whirlwind romance, basically. And he's talking to his friend about it, and he realizes they don't know very much about each other. And they're like, you know, what's your favorite movie? And they start talking about that, and she basically says she's never seen Star Wars. And that's his favorite movie. And him and his friend, and his friend's like all upset and says, you can't marry this girl if she's never seen Star Wars. So, because you have to show it to her. And if she doesn't like it, then you can't get married. And it's like this huge deal, and they're watching it, and, you know, everyone's heart is like with this guy, or all of us. Anybody watching this show or watching, listening to this podcast knows, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know if I could stay with someone that doesn't like Star Wars, you know. And of course it's different with guys, I guess, but she watches it, and the very first thing that happens is the scroll starts going up, and she's like, oh, I'm gonna go get a drink. And he's like, but the, and she's all, oh, it's just a bunch of words, I'm not gonna read it anyway. And he's like, oh, but the it's so cute. So I recommend that episode when it comes back around.
Obviously, she wasn't Aaron. She didn't have to pause it and read it and
she
reread
didn't
it
try
and get it right.
She did not try. And in the end, I mean, not that this is a big deal because it's not a spoiler kind of show, but in the end, she tells him that she likes it, but then she admits to his friend that she doesn't like it, but she's going to pretend to for the guy's sake. And he's like, basically, it's cool. It ends up kind of cool because he's like, well, can you pretend to like this movie for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health? And she's like, she goes, I think so. I do. And he goes, very good. Then you can marry my friend. So, I mean, it's kind of good and bad, but I don't know. When they go after people thinking that obviously nobody knows this, like, oh, how stupid. And I'm like,
excuse me.
Don't make fun of people that like that. I like that. Jerk. Anyway. Anything else that you can think of?
Not TV related.
Okay. Well, as always, everything's short on the TV end. because of this.
Until Battlestar comes back on.
Or until I start doing my Project One Ray podcast with Holly. Well, I'm very excited. People have been asking us to do a Buffy episode, and the Buffy episode they shall get. So that's what we're doing right now. Buffy the Vampire Slayer is 7 seasons of bliss created by the magnificent Joss Whedon. And if you have never watched a Buffy episode before, there's 7 seasons. Each season has an arc, whereas the first show of the season all the way to the end of the season has a similar flow. There's an arc storyline with the same kind of big bad guy that they're fighting throughout. And then there's a series of little kind of standalones sometimes, but they usually all link together. Through Joss's genius, there are also things that link from one season to another. And everything from a full episode out of one remark to, you know, just a little image that was in one episode one time, and then it, you know, it shows up in season 4 once, and then again it shows up in season 7 in a completely different context. I find that very interesting. But anyway, that's the basic, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Basic construct. What we were talking about doing is starting to do this geeky girl thing of how do you introduce people to something that you like, geek-wise. And when anybody ever asks me about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I have always shown them the episode Hush from season 4, which is the season when Buffy and her friends go to college. And the arc of the season has to do with this government program that also is hunting demons. And Buffy kind of hooks up with them, and then kind of everything turns around, and you have to watch the whole season to get everything. But the episode Hush is kind of a standalone. You still have what they call it, the army guys are there, but the episode itself is about these characters called the Gentlemen, and they come to the town, wreak havoc, and Buffy fights them. And that's kind of how it works. So before I go too far into it, I wanted to ask Jenny a couple of questions. First, do you think it was a good episode to watch if nobody had ever seen Buffy? If you were a general sci-fi fan, but you didn't know anything about Buffy.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm going into it knowing a little more about the characters than right. maybe someone who has never seen it before.
Right. So, oh, and I forgot the big thing is that the episode is almost entirely music because, as by the title, after the very first commercial break, everybody loses their voices and they don't get them back until the end. And so the entire show is shot completely voiceless. No words, no lines. So that's the kind of hook mm-hmm. of the episode. So mm-hmm. sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. No, that's awesome. So you did like it for that?
Yes.
So tell me what you thought of it in general.
I mean, first of all, the score was awesome mm-hmm. in this. It's very whimsical and creepy at the same time. It reminded me of the composer who does all the music for, you know,
Danny
Nightmare
Elfman.
Before... Yes, Danny yeah. Elfman. His name escaped me for a minute there.
That's okay.
And it was, to me, very theatrical
mm-hmm.
in the way that things were shot.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the gentlemen. They floated above ground when they moved. Really creepy. I mean, the vampires are one thing. I've always hated vampires. I'm not a vampire fan.
Yeah.
But those guys topped it.
Yeah.
That was kind of scary. And they... Just the movement of their hands was very Vanna White-ish
mm-hmm.
when they talked and well, they didn't talk. They expressed themselves with their hands most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And in one scene, they even did the Gamma Quadrant golf clap.
Yes.
And the other thing that's very creepy about the gentlemen is that they're dressed in these black, like, Undertaker kind of costumes.
Yes.
And they pan up. They have these bony hands that are very expressive. And then they pan up to the face and they have this, like, fixed smirk of teeth that's in this set in this grin
mm-hmm.
and or this leer really is what it was
mm-hmm.
and then their eyes are of course and their brow is very reminiscent of the style of costume, you know, makeup in the series, the
mm-hmm.
their vampire demon type
yeah.
facial features as far as that's concerned. But and they're bald too,
yeah.
which is very creepy overall. But so that the theatrical style, especially when they set the box and opened it and it sucked all the voices in, just the way they kind of Vanna White'd the
yeah
the that it was I liked that for what it was. And the whole thing at the beginning with the dream, especially the phrase, it was a quote actually, "Fortune favors the brave."
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was something weighty to that, so I looked it up to see what it was about. Mm-hmm. And it's a quote from Virgil, the poet, the ancient Roman poet.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe there was something that may have some context in another mm-hmm. episode, because as you've said, he likes to have this overarching series
yeah.
That connect to one another, even, you know, all the way back to season one. And I thought maybe that phrase had some weight to it as mm-hmm. far as other episodes go, but
it may. And I have to say that even as many times as I have watched through Buffy,
mm-hmm.
I tend to, in you know, in later years that I have had all the seasons, I'll just go to a go-to episode. You know, I'll pick up Hush, or I'll pick up, you know, another episode, or the first episode, mm-hmm. or the last episode, and watch those. I think I really need to almost make a point to maybe, you know, sometime, you know, just kind of watch them all. I hate to even go as far as saying this, but I think that Joss, sometimes he would never admit to this, but he's almost Shakespearean in his writing style, because of the fact his writing is an onion. There, you can just peel and keep peeling the layers off of everything, and how some of it, when you get it a few layers off, is just silliness, you know, mm-hmm. and some of it is brilliant. It's always fun, and it's in the style, if you have watched Firefly but have not watched Buffy, which very few people fall in that category. Some of them do. You know, it's that similar writing style. I feel like he does it even better in Buffy. I think Buffy is a lot more thought through. Of course, you know, he got 7 seasons in Buffy. He got half a season yeah. of Firefly, so who knows where that would have gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, I'd be willing to investigate and think about that more, and maybe get back to you and maybe read about it a little more and kind of connect it. I hadn't watched it in a while. And of course, I watched it in order to prepare for this last night. And my friend Sarah came over, who is a fellow Buffy fan, who's a little bit younger. She's about 10 years younger than me. And so I think she has a different perspective, definitely, because she's a little younger than Buffy. I'm about the same age as Sarah Michelle Gellar, but I'm about 4 years older than Buffy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when I think you go into it with a different perspective when you have the age difference, you mm-hmm. know? And I think I remember when I first saw it, thinking that, like, the beginning when she has the dream and there's the boy she likes and they kiss, I remember thinking that being very sexy and very like, oh my gosh, how awesome. For some reason yesterday, I was embarrassed. I thought, gosh, that's so embarrassing. Like,
you're just an old
prude. I guess
now
I'm an old lady now. But what I thought also was interesting is that, and obviously I would have caught this before, but I think I was too busy enjoying the episode the other times I've watched it. But I kind of got into theory analysis mode and realized all of the talking that happens in the first section is either annoying or it's about how talking gets in the way. And well, the easiest one is when Buffy and Riley are talking. You know, when
yeah.
he's walking her out of class and they haven't kissed yet. So this is the very beginning of their relationship, kind of. And they're going in for a kiss and then she starts talking. And then when they meet in the street later, when neither of them have their voices, you know, they hug each other, they look at each other, they finally kiss because they don't have words, you
yeah.
know, getting in the way. And it's, I think that's interesting. And it's funny how through physicality and through body language and eye contact and all of those things, how something significant happens to everybody. You have the relationships in the show, like Buffy and Riley finally kiss and start that part of their relationship. Of course, more complicated things happen later, but that's not what we're here to talk about, when he finds out she's the Slayer. But that's, again, that's, I could go on. Then you have the Xander Anya relationship, in which at the beginning she's just upset because she wants him to show her how much he loves her. And that's pretty basic. And how many women have felt like that? Like, you don't love me anymore because of this, that, and the other. And then he finds her and thinks that Spike has bitten her and gets all upset and starts beating the crap out of Spike. And she realizes that that's why he did it, is, you know,
protecting her.
Physically,
yeah.
you know, protecting her, no words, no anything. And then the relationship gets repaired right there. And how no words are spoken. And then, of course, the controversial, quote unquote, relationship between Willow and Tara. I will say I like Tara. It took me a very long time to like Tara. And this is another thing. I almost wish we had Sarah to talk about this with us. But that Sarah and I were talking about, because she still doesn't like Tara that much. She has no problem with their relationship. If you are a fan of the show and don't like Tara, in season 5, there's an episode, I think it's called Family. And Amy Adams is actually in it. If anybody ever saw Ever After, that movie that came out this past summer. She's real cute and she plays Tara's cousin. And I'm not going to go into that episode, but it's a really great episode. You see where Tara came from, and it makes so much more sense, the kind of person she is. I just really like her after that.
So was it just because she doesn't talk very much and she stumbles on her words? And what is it that makes you and Sarah not like her initially?
Well, I think that a lot of people didn't like her because of Oz. Because everybody loves Oz. And I love Oz. I mean, everybody loves Oz. And I don't think anybody, because I think of Buffy fans as kind of a little more hip, and I don't think anybody cared about the lesbian issue. I think it was more about, and I'm sure that there's some people who did, but whatever. I think it was more about Oz. I think anybody else really, after Oz, would have gotten the same reaction, whether it was male or female. That was just something. And I really enjoyed the way that Joss did that, because he treated it like any other relationship. The only thing different is that he did tie it into the idea of Willow's magical growth as a magical witch with Tara, and that he tied that into their relationship. That's the only thing kind of different. But I, you know, theirs for a while, theirs was the only stable relationship on the whole show for quite a while, until, you know, of course, because in real drama there can never be a stable relationship. That's just how life is. But I don't know. I liked it, and I do like her. I think that also it's just people really didn't like her being so. People kind of described her as how Willow was when the show first started, where she's kind of shy and meek and but then, you know, I came out of it, you know, of course, as I talk about this, because I could talk ad nauseum about Buffy, but I saw somewhere, and it may have been on an official Buffy website or on a unofficial, but they named all of the characters, like the warrior is Buffy and the witch is Willow, and they call Tara the sorceress. And I just find that appropriate, because there's something kind of unearthly about her as she gets further in the show, because she doesn't use magic in the same way that Willow does. Willow just continues to absorb power, and she's just very powerful, is able to use the dark arts and the way that they end up doing it is almost an addictive way, whereas Willow is somehow always able to manage it. She's never taken
over. You mean
Tara? Tara's always able to manage it. She's never taken over by it. There's a balancing, that's what it is that she's a balanced person, and she's so good for Willow, and so after a while that's what I think a lot of people that do end up liking her, that's what I ended up liking her for, is that you see that she's good for Willow. But I think a lot of people never really got over the Oz thing.
Now, explain to people who aren't Buffy fans and maybe have never seen an episode who Oz is.
Oz is Willow's first boyfriend, and he comes in the second season, I believe it's this. Oh, yeah, it is the second season, because he's there when she's giving Angel his soul back. And they go through a couple of different things. Basically, he's a werewolf. And the best thing about Oz is that his character, first of all, it's played by Seth Green, who was creator of Robot Chicken. He's on Family Guy. I mean, Seth Green. Everybody knows Seth Green. And he is actually, and also strange trivia, if you ever watched My Stepmother is an Alien. Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
My Stepmother is an Alien. It doesn't have anything to do with who cares about the movie, but Allison Hannigan is in the movie, and her little boyfriend in the movie is Seth Green. So it's kind of
funny how then they were boyfriend girlfriend on Buffy. But yeah, he's in a band. He's real cool. But the werewolf thing, and that's what happens, is they end up breaking up because he finds a girl werewolf and finds that he can't control that, you know, because basically the fun thing about Oz is that he's a dichotomy, just like everything else in Buffy is a dichotomy, because you have this Buffy who's this, you know, a big badass, big, you know, warrior, crazy, you know, strong, and she looks like a cheerleader, you know, and then you have everybody is displaced in what they can, you know, who they are. And Oz to me is one of the best examples, because obviously his alter ego is a werewolf, which is pure passion. In fact, the episode where they introduce him as a werewolf is Passions, I think. And it's pure passion, pure, like the most animal instincts that are inside everyone, and how it comes out, you know, physically as this animal form. And Oz himself is the most controlled, the most, you know, he's just a very controlled, very, you know, one line is enough. Even in this episode, I think I think it's a couple episodes before, because I did watch a few of the other episodes the other day. He says there's something going on that's crazy. And Willow says, you know, how can you sit there and be so calm? And he just says, long hours of arduous practice. And it's just like no laugh. He just says, long hours of arduous practice. And that's it. That's Oz. That's what Oz says. I mean, he's very the exact opposite of what you would think somebody who turns into a werewolf would be like. So, yeah. And he says one of my favorite Joss lines, which is when he first realizes he's a werewolf, he wakes up naked, looks around and goes, huh. Because that's exactly how Oz would react. Not like everybody else, you'd wake up naked in the forest. You'd be like, what's going on here? What happened? Where are my clothes? And Oz just goes, huh. Yeah. So there you go. Man, a few words. I'm sorry I went off on like 15 different tangents, but. So anyway, I mean, I could just go on this one episode about how awesome every single thing is. And you're right about the music. And I've watched it so many times that if you get the Once More With Feeling soundtrack, they have some of the tracks from Hush. If you've watched Hush enough times, you can like see what's going on, like corresponding to the music that's happening, with the singing in the background, the whatever. Oh, it's very, very cool.
Well, you said on one of our previous podcasts at the end that you would be talking me into watching Buffy.
Okay,
who had never seen it before. Yes, I had. I watched Buffy when it first started, and I was in college at the time. And then after Dave and I got married, which we were, I think he was a junior and I was a sophomore in college, we had a budget that we had to keep, and we lost our cable. And so I did not watch Voyager. I did not watch Deep Space Nine. And I missed out on most of Buffy.
Yeah.
So, but when I was watching it, I was competing on my college karate team. And so my interest in Buffy was strictly because of the martial arts.
I like.
Awesome.
The only thing is, and Sarah was telling me that you can obviously see when her double comes in.
Cause
she's just a little thicker. Because the girl who's her double, and I've seen her in interviews and stuff, and she's cute as she can be, and she's a bad arse at what she does. Oh my gosh. But you can tell when she comes in, because she's just slightly thicker, because Sarah Michelle Gellar is just, she's very svelte. But well, I have heard that she trained, though. So, but obviously she's, you know.
I would like to know what form that she knows. I learned Kachukenbo, which is a Polynesian form, and I studied under Dan Baker at Southwest Texas, which he's a world champion, several times world champion. I mean, that's like a combination of Kempo, karate, Greco-Roman wrestling, jujitsu. Anyway, it would be interesting to know what exactly form, which form it was that she was doing.
I think I remember recently seeing, I might have to let you borrow, because I got a special edition, all the seasons of Buffy from a friend for Christmas a couple years ago or a year ago, and it has a special DVD. I might let you borrow, because I think that it has a featurette about the fighting. So you might find that interesting, but I can't speak with any authority on exactly what it is, but I do know that it's very awesome.
Yeah, and well, it's good. I mean, I think it's empowering, first of all.
Yes.
And also boosts your confidence. But yeah, to see like a small framed woman dealing out, you know, butt kicking moves, it's awesome. But also, it's not impossible.
Right.
Because, I mean, most people think you have to be big and bulky in order to take someone large down, which the whole point of martial arts is smart in the way that you move and strategic and using the other person's weight against them and stuff like that. And so everything that she's does is totally possible. But the blows she takes, that's a little ridiculous.
That's where you, but the Slayer does have
power, some type of superpower.
The strength to take the, and she heals quickly too, because when she does get hurt, she heals quickly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is one thing. And I did, you reminded me of something I wanted, the only thing I wrote down and I didn't say it, is the whole idea of people being turned off by Buffy the Vampire Slayer because of the name, just simply because of the name, and because people watched the movie and it was this campy show where it's Joss Whedon's words, but he did not direct it. So it's nothing like the series, which is so much darker and
humorous. The humor,
it's so well,
dry.
I mean,
wit,
well, the
is
best
what...
part about it is that the things that people are turned off by the title are also explain it so much, because you've got Buffy, which is funny, vampire, which is horror, and then Slayer, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Mm-hmm. You've got everything in there. And I think it's people, and one of the reasons that like the Emmys don't pick it up is because it's not in a genre. It's not comedy, but it's hilarious at times. I mean, laugh out loud funny. What I like is that the drama comes from situations that are real. They don't come from the monster situations. You know, they do this in the first episode. Buffy has to go out and kill this guy or the world's gonna end, blood, death, whatever. And it's kind of one of the jokes, you know, I have to save the world again, you know. And her mom's like, okay, you know, I have to be strong and tell you no, that you can't go out, you know. And she goes, you know, if you don't go out, it won't be the end of the world. And Buffy's like, well, yeah, it will. But when you're 16, it kind of feels that way.
Yeah,
you know, if you have a zit, or if you have a, you know, if a boy doesn't like you, or if you are in a relationship and somebody breaks up with you. I mean, he can feel evil.
Oh, yeah.
It can feel, and so it's all of those things in life. And I think when you watch the show, and as I get older, I'm getting, like I said, more perspective on it. It's just really interesting how, you know, she just fights them physically. But I think everyone feels like they're fighting sometimes when they're that age, and then the kind of things you go through as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like it because it's a good metaphor. And I don't know. Anyway, so that's my favorite show.
The way it ended was interesting too, where Riley says, we have a lot to talk about. And she kind of says yes. And they kind of just sit down and look at each other.
Yes.
No conversation being had.
Yeah. Oh, and we forgot the one of the funniest lines when Xander is keeping Spike for the evening, and it's before they lose their voices. And Xander's like, you know, don't bite me in the, you know, if you get free, don't bite me in the middle of the night. And he's like, oh, I wouldn't bite you. And he's like, I'm very biteable, pal. I'm moist and delicious. So, I mean, well, that, you can't, it's so funny.
I had no idea why, until you explained to me, why Spike was neutered. How he could have been neutered, because the last time I saw Spike, he was bad guy. And then the next time we got Cable back in the day,
it was
he was
season 5.
Kissing Buffy.
Yeah.
And I was like, ew, what happened to Angel? I want Angel back.
Yeah, you kind of have to see that arc. I could actually do maybe one day further down the line.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do a discussion on the differences between Spike and Angel, because I have a very interesting theory about what both of them say about guys in general.
The actor that plays Spike is not English, is he?
No. He's from California.
Yeah.
And if you ever hear him in an interview, he is like a surfer dude. He has a surfer dude accent. I think he's even in a band. Like, he's a surfer dude in a band. I mean, he is a California dude. And I think he said once in an interview that he based his accent on Anthony Head, who plays Giles in the show. Oh, and I forgot one of my favorite things, because Buffy does get scary. every single time I watch it, I jump when Olivia, who's Giles'
friend, that thing looks in the window.
She looks out the window and then she's looking. And so you're looking because, oh, look, there's one way out over there. And then one passes right by her. I jump. I know it's coming and I jump every single time.
See, I anticipated that because it always comes in horror movies that someone jumps up in the window. And so.
But the weird part is like, the scary part about those guys is that they don't jump. They just float.
They're not fast moving.
In fact,
the chase scenes, everyone's like running as fast as they can. And they're like George Costanza in the episode where he's on the hover round and all the elderly people are chasing him down.
But it's one of those jokes, and I wouldn't put it past Joss to do this on purpose. I don't know if he did because I haven't listened to the commentary in a while, but I wouldn't put it past him to do it on purpose and have, you know, how you had the horror movies where the monster's moving so, so slow, and then the girl's screaming in her underwear, and she's like, and she's running real fast. It's like, but the monster gets her anyway. So, of course, they did have the little funky looking dudes.
Oh gosh, the guys in the straight jackets.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was also very theatrical, I thought.
Yeah. Oh, we forgot this part was when, first of all, how did they get a haul when he has the transparencies?
Oh.
Those are so funny. First he has the transparencies and then how he has the music.
Yeah.
And then also Anya, who I could do another episode about Anya completely too, but how Anya, all of her little looks during that whole scene when they're talking about the gentleman, what do they want? And then at the very end when he's like, he has a little drawing of Buffy. Buffy will patrol tonight. And Buffy's like, my hips, you drew my hips.
Well, that whole exchange where Willow is pointing to her heart, you know, like that's what they want.
Yes.
Because he's like, what do they want? And on his little like transparency, that's what he wrote, what Giles wrote. And Willow points to her heart and Xander looks at her and
boobies?
Like he mouths it because they can't talk. And then they ask, how do you kill him? And Puppy does this motion with their fist.
That looks very suggestive. And everyone looks around like, oh my gosh. And it's funny that every single one of them thinks that.
Yeah.
And then she grabs the steak and is like,
hello.
Steak. And, oh, okay. And I also like that after the Gamma Quadrant golf clap with the gentleman, how the one that it's in the front is like, oh, please, no problem.
Just motioning with his hands.
Thank you. And it's cool how all of this, you know, we're talking about lines that don't even exist.
Right. It's all miming.
And it doesn't feel like overly exaggerated. It's like that's how you would be if you were trying to communicate and you couldn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd mouth things and I don't know. I've just felt like it was done very delicately, but it also worked really well.
She answered the phone, I was wondering how she was going to do that. Like what I was like, oh, don't say hello because you know you can't talk. So she starts to say it and she stops and rolls her eyes.
Yeah. And
that,
then
I thought that was good.
And I like how Spike looks at Xander like,
ugh. Yeah. Because he thinks that he took his voice away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That part. You did this to me. It's like, why would I do
that? Yeah. He doesn't even bother to like, oh, please.
That's good.
Yeah.
But a lot of the stuff that happens with Spike while he's neutered is pretty funny. So
the mug of blood in the refrigerator they kept for him was pretty funny.
And I think it's even called like a yummy puppy mug. I don't know. It says something real stupid.
He had like
on it.
You know, like if you would have a cup of milk and you're little and you drank it too fast and you have a milk mustache, he has the blood mustache.
And he also goes all vampy. So.
Yes. That was a nice angle on the camera. I mean, a camera trick where he raises the mug, he drinks the blood, and when he pulls the mug down, he has the vampire face.
Yeah.
So before he drinks it, he's fine. But then that transition with the mug. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I noticed that.
I've always really liked that too, as far as vampire stories are concerned. Mm-hmm. I like how the Buffy universe uses the vamp thing. How vampires, they do use that there's that seduction quality, but when they change into quote unquote vampires, it's like the demon is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they've always explained, you know, that I've seen. I really like that. So it's like they do have a human side. They were once human, but this is them as demon. And I always thought that was very cool because then it's more dangerous.
Yeah.
They're more dangerous that way and they're manifesting that dangerousness instead of just having a couple of pointy teeth.
Pointy teeth, yeah.
You know, and a little bit of pale skin, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I do like that. So
you said you always liked vampires. That yes. You have this thing, not thing for them, because you're not that psycho goth girl.
No, I'm not a psycho goth girl.
But I, on the other hand, have always been deathly afraid of vampires mm-hmm. since I was little. Because I remember I must have been about 10 or 11. My parents decided for some reason that it would be okay for me to watch a vampire movie. And it had to be, it was one that was, I just remember it was on TV. And the vampire was, it changed to a wolf instead of a bat.
I think I saw that same yes. one.
And
it was like...
It took place in the 19th century, and the father was a vampire slayer or a okay. hunter, and his daughter was bitten by the wolf, by the vampire, mm-hmm. and was buried because they thought she was dead, mm-hmm. and he realizes that the daughter may have been a vampire, so he digs her up, and when he opens the casket. There's a big hole in the side of the casket where she has dug her way out and created this cavern. And so he gets into the coffin, goes into the cavern looking for her. And this is where my mother and father scarred me for life.
Wow.
By letting me watch this movie.
They did scar you for life.
Because he finds his daughter. And she's not the type of, you know, Count Dracula that I knew as a little kid.
Yeah.
Her skin is flaking off. It's all white. Uh-huh. And she's going, Papa. She's like blood coming out of her, and that was it for me. I was done at that point and scarred for life. I'd slept on with my light on as a little kid. I learned, I still do at times, not because I'm afraid of vampires anymore, but because as a child, I would sleep with my forearm over my neck so that if a vampire tried to get me, I would know that he was there and I could beat him off. So yeah, vampires are not cool.
See, I've always been the exact opposite. I've always found the vampire thing kind of sexy. But the thing about it though is that's kind of the point, you know. It is that sort of danger. It's the ultimate angel, for instance, and Spike are both kind of the ultimate bad boys. I mean, mm-hmm. the ultimate bad guy, he would just soon kill you as look at you for real. Yeah. You know, and so that's what's always so interesting all the way back to Dracula, is that almost all of the stories, especially Dracula, have to do with the, you know, this kind of devilish person seducing young women, and how the women who are vampires, you know, seduce men, and in the Bram Stoker's Dracula, how, you know, the main character, who I'm blanking on right now, gets seduced by the three women who Dracula has, and it's like it's all very sexy, and you know how the biting is very sensuous and all of that stuff. And I guess that's what I always remembered about vampire stories, is stuff that's like, you know, almost like weird, this weird kind of dark seduction thing. And what I like about Buffy in that way is that it plays off of both aspects, about the, yes, there are things that can be seductive about that kind of life, but it's also very, very dangerous. And they go over that. There's several episodes where, you know, there's one in particular in season two where one of her friends is trying to be, wants to be a vampire because he's dying or something. And so he like makes a deal to become a vampire, and she has to kill him. And she goes through this whole thing with him about, you know, when you become a vampire, you're not really becoming a vampire. You leave and the demon takes over. And I just always liked that idea.
How is that though? If Angel...
Well, happens is that Angel's soul is
okay.
The premise of that is that Angel gets his soul because he basically he's kind of a worthless dude, you know, in real life. When mm-hmm. he's 18, he meets a woman in a dank, you know, alleyway, who's a vampire that he, you know, he doesn't know, and so he becomes a vampire when he's this stupid guy, and he goes all these centuries being, you know, hacking and killing and eating and having a grand old time, and kills the wrong person. And he kills a gypsy, and the gypsy tribe puts a spell on him, basically restoring his soul. Like, you know, you have to kind of believe, you know, it's suspend your disbelief about how all the magic works. And I'm cool with the magic in this show, whatever. So the magic kind of brings his real soul back. He's still a vampire, but he has his real soul back. But he remembers all of the people that he hurt, and so it's like a punishment to him to have to feel all this. So he's like the ultimate brooding, the, you know, every woman's dream.
The he's much more handsome, I think, than Riley.
Oh, you that like guy Riley?
He has a goofy haircut. Oh, and...
Riley is that the Iowa. You know, there's some debate that Buffy really screwed up when she didn't end up with Riley, because she's everything a woman. Riley's everything a woman should want, because he's wholesome.
I don't know. I didn't like him at first, but that the first scene with him kissing her. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah, he's pretty cute.
At that point, after that, it was just like, who's this goofball?
Oh, he's so cute, though. he has some issues. He has some issues. And, yeah, but I do like Riley, I have to admit. I like a lot of other things, too, but, yeah. Riley's okay. He's just, I think they're together for almost two seasons. I think fourth and fifth season. So
overall, I liked this episode.
Good.
I wanted to know why you chose for it to be the one you would introduce someone for the first time to Buffy. I mean, what was your reasoning for deciding on Hush as the episode you would introduce someone to Buffy?
Well, first of all, it's not very plot revealing in the fact that I don't think you have to know too much about Buffy or her friends or anything like that before you go in. Everything's introduced sort of you know, you find out that Willow's Willow's into witchcraft. You find out that, you know, Xander lives in his parents' basement, that he has a girlfriend named Anya who used to be a demon. He even talks about that in this episode. I mean, so, you know, you find out Spike is a vampire, and for some reason he's hanging out with Giles. You know, so there's a lot of things that are introduced in the episode that you can kind of just go in the episode, realize who these people are, and then just watch the episode as it is. Also, the fact that it is it's a piece of art. I think that I personally believe that this episode is a piece of art in itself, because of the way the music is used, the way it's directed, the type of demons that they use. Also, for the more heady people who like the academic side of it, how the whole thing links together with communication and how we communicate, and that's what the whole episode's about. And not just about monsters cutting people's hearts out, and that there's humor in it, and that also, I had thought about a few other episodes, but most of the other episodes that I've thought of that are really good that I would tell people to watch, there's something revealed in it that's too important. You know what I mean? Like, the episode itself is too important that I think it would ruin. It's kind of like watching Empire Strikes Back first. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's like, oh, well, that's cool. Oh, okay. You know, so that it would ruin things. Whereas Hush, it does all of the things that I just said, plus it does not ruin. I think you could watch that and then go back to the beginning and watch and still have relatively good enjoyment. And if anybody else has another episode of Buffy that they would think would be the first one that we would show people, that would be great, and we'd be happy to talk about it. I don't want to go all spoiler on people, but if you haven't seen a lot of these things by now, I mean, there's lots of stuff with Buffy that I would love to talk about. So if you are a Buffy fan, please get those letters into us. So
yeah, well, I think that Kenny from California had a audio comment for us.
Oh, about Hush?
Yes.
Great, cool. Let's listen to it.
Hey, Jen and Angela. It's Kenny from California. Just thought I'd give you my thoughts on the Buffy episode, Hush. First, let me say I'm a huge Buffy fan. I've seen every single episode multiple times. I have them all on DVD. I'm a huge Angel fan, which is a spinoff. And I collect all the comic books. So I'm a huge Buffy fanatic. So I was really excited to hear that you guys were actually going to be talking about one of the best Buffy episodes from all seven seasons of Buffy. Hush is a unique episode just for the fact that it's done completely in silence, which is amazing, because I think it's the first time I've ever seen, you know, an hour-long program where 45 minutes of it is completely silent, you know, other than some music. I mean, and obviously, you know, it's the actors who aren't saying anything. There is sound, you just don't hear them talking, because with the story is their voices get taken away. But It was a creepy episode. It was well acted. The special effects were awesome. The characters, the creatures, everything about the episode was fantastic. And it was, for season four, the whole initiative, I wasn't a huge fan of. There were some standout episodes in season four, but I would have to say that's probably my least favorite of all seven seasons is four. But, of course, it contains one of the best episodes that Buffy ever had. Now, people ask, if people haven't seen Buffy before, what episodes should they watch? And I know a lot of people will suggest, Hush or Once More With Feeling, which is their musical episode. And even though I agree those are fantastic episodes, and they definitely show Buffy at its best, I don't think those are good episodes to actually introduce to non-fans of the show. Just because characters, story-wise, you really don't get to know the characters in those episodes. They're fun, and they're wonderfully written and well-acted, but I just don't think you should introduce people to the world of Buffy with either one of those episodes. But anyways, Hush is a fantastic episode. Well-made, well-acted, well-produced, well-everything. It's all-around fantastic episode. And I'm so glad that you guys are giving some Anomaly love to the Buffyverse. So, thanks, guys. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Sometimes I think my baby is a vampire. Because after I spend the day with them, I feel like all the life has been sucked out of me.
Aww.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I know that sounds horrible. Shake it off.
Walk it off, lady.
Walk it off. Rock and roll.
So I've been playing The Force Unleashed.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
David and I went to Target the other day, Target, and we picked it up. And I was trying to make dinner, hoping to play it after, I finished making dinner.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, I hear, zhwong, do, 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 do. David starts playing my game.
Nice.
I don't like playing video games.
That's not nice.
And yeah, and he was playing Darth Vader in the first round of the game.
Cool.
That was awesome. You get to force push and choke and do all that really cool thing.
I don't want to be on the dark side.
You know what?
Was horrible at it when I tried it in Knights of the Old Republic.
I couldn't do it either.
Like,
I could not
bring
myself.
Yeah, you suck. And then be like, why are you so mean to me? I'm sorry. No, here's your money. Take it.
Me too. What surprises me is how people can... I can't separate myself.
No,
maybe that's the difference
either.
Between me and the people who can play the evil
dark
characters
side.
Because they can separate themselves as the character in the game and a person in real life.
Right.
And when I'm playing that game, I am that person in the game.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And I cannot do that. It's
I remember
just,
you
maybe
did
I'm
say
too,
a couple times you were mean to Bastila because she is kind
I
of a...
I hate it, Bastila
She
Sean.
Was kind of a bee every once in a while, if you
she
know what
reminded
I mean.
Me of someone I hate. Well,
okay.
I don't hate them.
We won't go there.
Technically, I just despise them. But anyway.
Okay. But yeah, that's so funny. Like, I'll just be mean to Bastila.
Yeah. So every time she said something smartass, I would say something smartass back. I would choose the meanest response. And so my progress bar would go down, so it would be neutral.
Also, my paladin is now a 50, and my mage is now a 46.
Cool.
There you go.
Awesome.
I'm leveling up at the same time. I know I shouldn't do that, but it's kind of easy because once I do quests with one girl, then I'll just go back and do same quests with the other girl. It's a lot easier with the mage because she kills things way faster than the pally does.
I still think we should photograph your... I'm a level, 40?
T-shirt.
Yeah. What does it say?
Well, I'd like to put... I need to get some... You need to help me. I need to log on so you can help me find a good screen grab.
Okay.
Both of my tunes, so we can get
them on.
We can
put them on the website.
So we can put it on the website.
Cool.
Yeah.
I could do that. Yeah. So back to the Force Unleashed.
Sorry.
Back to the Force Unleashed. So anyway, I wish I had Force powers.
Yeah.
I really love... You know what would be best is if they took this game and all the things you could do in it and make another Knights of the Old Republic with all these powers.
Yeah.
And the animation style. There are things about this game that irked me. First of all, why do the women... in this video game have to dress like hoes?
Well, because okay. of the no, but well,
come on. There are Star Wars fans who are women.
I know, but the and they main play this game. Is men.
That's crap. Now
I know.
That's
I know.
Crap. I'm tired of that. The main character in the story, he looks fine. He's dressed well, but his pilot, who is a very attractive British sounding woman, she wears like a chemise with an imperial jacket open, and then as you know the game progresses, it becomes less and less.
Oh yeah, that's how the WoW armor is too. The more armor you get, the less you're actually wearing.
I'm sure the guys think that's great, yeah. But frankly, I'm tired of it.
Oh, sorry.
But anyway, I digress. The walking in the game was weird. First of all, the animation of the walking. They're like, their legs didn't bend right or something. That was odd. And I mean, I wouldn't be picking on stuff like this because obviously, I mean, Knights of the Old Republic had the weird thing with the hand flinging back and forth as you pause. And, you know what I'm talking about if you played this game.
Yes.
And, but they hyped this game as being like the next level of animation. And there were so many things that I saw that really bugged me about it that weren't animated right. And the worst thing about it is Princess Leia was in this game. She looked like a dog. I mean, her face was all messed up and didn't sound like her. But, I mean, there were some funny things that I saw. I'm not sure that anybody else noticed. But you actually go, I think it was on Kashyyyk when the Empire had taken over and the place was burned down.
Yeah.
You go into a facility run by this one Imperial officer, and he's kind of a big game hunter, and he has trophies all around, and in the middle of the room there's like this Wookiee, and he's in this encased thing. He can't get out. You have to let him out.
Mm.
But if you look on the wall, there is a Jar Jar and Carbonite against the wall.
Awesome.
I turned around and looked at it, but you know, I was in a hurry, so I didn't have a good, you know, really good look at it. But I'm pretty darn sure that was a Jar Jar and Carbonite, and that was hilarious.
Very good.
So that was good. But anyway, I was talking to Rico about it, and we decided that if we had the Force, it would be a bad thing because our tempers would get the better of us, and we would force lightning someone in traffic if they cut us off, or I just wouldn't be able to control it.
And this is something that's come up on Geeks before, but a lot of times when you talk about this kind of stuff, like I think when they were talking about it, it was about jetpacks. Like, why can't we have a working jetpack? You know, flying car. But the cool thing would be is if, and I think this too because I watch too much Charmed and I like their powers, is it would be cool if you had those powers. Like if you were the only one who had the powers, it would be fun. But if you were dealing with everybody and their, you know, their puppy was able to access Force powers, or if just one person who wasn't a nice person was able to access Force powers, that would not be a good thing.
No, because then we would be having, instead of, you know, guys punching each other in the arms, they would be force choking each other.
Yeah, and that would not... or, like, the shenanigans they could get into, like, as high school boys or something, or, you know, in football, like, it would be just messed up.
And us girls would be using the Jedi mind trick on guys.
Yeah, we would. We'd be using a lot of Jedi mind trick. But we'd probably be dressing a lot more scantily clad.
According to these games, we would. Of course, David probably would like that. But
love it.
So, anywho, good game. I still recommend it. I'm still working my way through it. The story is kind of subpar. I expected more. But it's just basically a first-person shooter kind of game, only with force lightning.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, other force powers. Which, Force Repulse, awesome.
Good.
But anyway, I finished the first book in the Thrawn trilogy, which I listened to an unabridged version that was 22 files that were about an hour long, each one, which was very long at times. And the guy reading it was like the narrator of all, you know, the health film you had to watch when you were in fifth grade. They were talking about, these are the things that you're going through at your age. The boys Jesus. Have this, yeah.
That changing body.
It was a little bit funny. Mellow, you know, Bueller. But I listened to all of that. It was really good. You know, the story was great. I really liked it. And if anybody wants to hear more about it, write to us and let me know, and I'll do a review that's a little microcast so I can tell you more about it.
Mm-hmm.
About the version of the book that I listened to was an old books on tape version that was recorded like in 1995 or something. And one of the funny things I wanted to say, the guy could not say, he could not read the word executor. The name of Lord Vader's Star Destroyer is, people, listen to me, executor, not executor. There's no such word. Not executor, executor. But anyway, that really irked me. He said some things like, he would say Coruscant, which it's Coruscant. Mm-hmm. But I can understand. If you're not a big Star Wars fan, how are you going to know it's Coruscant? He said Dagobah. He would say Dagobah instead of Dagobah. Ugh. And he said Hoth instead of Hoth.
Oh, that's not right.
It got to me after a while. It was a little hard. But again, the story, great. And I will talk about it later if people will write to me and tell me if they want to hear about it.
And how close are you finishing that book?
I put it on hold. the book she's talking about is Snow Crash. And it's very, very long. I got the unabridged version of that, too. Okay. And so I'm almost done with it. I just need to finish it. Mm-hmm. And once we do, Angela and I want to do a show on that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes.
Yes.
Very good.
Very good.
Okay.
And we didn't get very many emails last week, and that kind of hurt our hearts.
Hurt my feelings.
We did get some, and thank you guys that sent them. Mike Featherstone sent us an email from Jolly England, and new listener. And we heard from a listener in Dallas, and that's the other thing we wanted to say, that our thoughts are with our fellow Texans and East Texas, Galveston and Houston areas, and some parts of Louisiana. We're just, you know, thinking and praying for you right now. Very devastative.
Yeah.
Horrible, horrible pictures.
Talk about force lightning.
Yeah, no kidding.
That was a lot. You know you can block force lightning with a lightsaber.
We've talked about this. If only Luke had been trained by Mace.
Sorry. It's still funny.
Yeah.
It never gets old. No, to me it doesn't anyway. Okay. Well, what are we going to do next time?
Good question. Well, we have a couple of options here.
Okay.
You and I have been discussing a show where our listeners would send in ideas of the first introductory either movie, television episode,
book
comic, whatever that you would use to introduce someone to a genre or series that they have never seen before that you want
to... comic.
Or anything. Because we, Angela and I, have never watched Doctor Who.
Right.
I personally, at this point, am not interested in it. But if you were going to talk me into watching this series, what episode would you have me start with? Because I obviously have seen all the bad ones. And I've been turned
I've
off.
I've seen some very interesting... I've seen a couple of them and... There's one kind of interested me, but I think it was part of an arc, and I came at the wrong point because I didn't know what was going on. So
So if there's, you know, that would be a good episode.
Yeah.
If we get enough of those kind of requests, we may do that. And then also, the Texas Renaissance Festival is coming up, and we are starting to prepare for that.
Oh yes, next weekend we are going to have the girls over.
That's right.
October 5th.
That's what our next podcast will be.
And that's what our next podcast will be. But I'm glad that Jenny mentioned that, though, because we want people to write in because we want to do everybody's ideas about their first thing. How do you sire someone in to, to what you do? Or even game.
Exactly.
Like, Jim and I always talk about what character should we make Jenny roll so she wants to play.
That's another episode for the future. Angela and Jim are trying to get me to play WoW. And
I have looked at EVE Online. Looks really interesting, though.
You know what it does to me, too, but I've heard that it's primarily a PvP game.
Oh, I don't like
that. I don't
that.
Either.
Yeah.
Not down with the teenage kids killing me every 5 seconds.
Yeah. Well, and also after BlizzCon, I'm going to try to talk Margaret. Margaret is going to BlizzCon, and she will be on our Renaissance Festival cast next time. And we are going to talk with her after she goes to BlizzCon, which will be the next week, probably after Renaissance Festival. So that'll all be done with. Probably sometime in November or December, we'll talk to Margaret about BlizzCon and any cool stuff she got. And she can talk to us about WoW because she really is the WoW expert.
Yeah, big time.
Around here.
Yeah.
So, and...
So, the girls coming over next weekend. And when we say the girls, they're our fellow anomalies who go with us every year to RenFest.
And all of them are sci-fi or fantasy fans, readers, video game players.
Very smart.
Star Wars,
very funny people.
And like a lot of the same things we do.
And in the meantime, we may put up a couple of the videos that we never put up
last
year.
We're going to try. I'm having some feed issues, but... we'll
yeah.
see.
Yeah, if you saw a video in the feed recently that didn't download, it's because it was a protected video.
Yeah.
I know. So, and I re-exported really... it. I re-exported them both as MP4s and sent them to you for upload. So they should be in the feed soon.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
But those are not the Renfest videos. They are just anomalous videos. Just for the fun. Just anomalies. Little snacks until we can edit this one and put it up for you.
Yeah.
But the one that follows, we'll put up two Renfest videos so you can get, you know, primed
an
for that episode.
For and, of course, on our website, there's photos from Renfest last year.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to like the gallery page anyway. Mm-hmm. So.
That's one that I've noticed they go to first. And if you have gone to that gallery and you're not familiar with how it works, there's a drop-down menu. On the left, if you click next to, I think it says anomaly or something like that. It's like galleries or something. There's a drop-down menu with several different albums that you can choose from. And we'll be adding to those over, you know, the months and stuff. Because as we go, when we go to the next Renfest, we'll have new pictures. So just stay on top of that because we're updating the site.
Yes.
And there is now a link to our blog at the bottom of each page. We have hyperlinks and text, and the blog is there. It will soon be in the in the main navigation, which is Flash, but I still have to program that. So look for that. Yes, look for that to come in the future, as well as a player that will have samples of our episodes. So if you want to get someone who doesn't listen to our show, interested in listening to the Anomaly podcast, you will in the future be able to send them to our archives where they can listen to a sample of our show. And we'll tell you at the end of that sample what episode that was from and tell you how to download and subscribe to the podcast.
Okay, so make sure and write us.
Yes.
Get your comments on iTunes. Thank you to everyone who comments on us.
We love the feedback.
We love to hear the feedback. You can contact us through our website at anomalypodcast.com, which is A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com, or you can email us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. And what else?
Vote for us on Podcast Alley. I forgot to say we're available there too.
We did get there. Mm-hmm. Cool. And didn't we sign up on another
Mediafly?
Yes.
And I think Podcast Pickle. But most of the people are coming to us through Podcast Alley or iTunes.
Great.
So vote.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening.
Stay tuned for next week. Any last words? Am I going to the electric chair? The Force Lightning chair?
No, I just watched a documentary on Henry VIII today. That's why I thought about that.
Fun.
Yeah. It was pretty good. He was a character. Anyway.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast.
Where female and fandom converge.
So you come home after a rough day at the office, have a drink, torrent the latest movie, make a sandwich, buy a human off eBay, listen to your favorite podcast, and not leave them any feedback. I know what you're thinking. Perfect night, right? Wrong. Go to iTunes and leave them some feedback. And that's something to think about.
Your feedback encourages us to continue producing Anomaly. Please consider writing about us in a forum, on a blog, and leave us a rating on iTunes. Hopefully a positive one. Drop us a line at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. Or via our contact page at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. And leave a comment on our latest episodes or just say hi. And if you're an anomaly or a fellow female fangirl, let us know we're not alone in the world. Anomaly is released on a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 license, which means you have to have our permission to change it or incorporate it into another work. All rights reserved.